You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
The Around the NFL Podcast. Feels like the game is slowing down for them.
From the Chris Wessling Podcast Studio, it's Around the NFL. I am Dan Hensis. Heroes here, Greg Rosenthal, Mark Sessler. It is the Week 3 preview show. I mean, isn't it funny? It's already starting to pick up momentum this season.
I was waiting for the first time this season when Dan said, it just goes so fast. It just keeps going along.
It does,
though. Season. We're here.
Week 1 through 12, like a flash. Weeks 13 through about 17, 18, literally feels like you're stuck in molasses, which is stuck within quicksand.
Yeah, okay? Like our friend Wes used to always talk about, you get into that sort of thick of November where it's like, this feels a little bit like you're walking through a dark forest. There are some longer days during
that
period.
And there are outliers, like the man in between us is like, every week's beautiful child, and yeah. I love football so much.
No, I think Thanksgiving's big to get to. But then actually, I feel differently. Then it just feels like a downhill. So I'm with you. I think that pre-Thanksgiving November is when we grind.
Yeah.
And this week,
let's go.
They've done something slightly hazardous. 9 games in the early window.
Nine early, three
only
late.
Three late.
I would like
why.
To balance it out a little bit. Yeah.
And it's leading to another Sessler apocalypse. What a tough week for Mark. You have the first overall pick, which is always great because you get to pick any game you want
right
from the non-primetime slate. But it also gives you 3 early games.
Yeah.
So the man who...
And you can't really pick any game you want because Shook has some games.
I don't even know what Shook has. I don't care what Shook has. Yeah. There's too much. What does Shook have talk in this studio? What do you want to watch on Sunday?
Let's find out.
I think that's the right way to
look at
it.
But my concern is,
yeah,
you were talking about having the earphone in each ear.
I'm watching 2 games. 3 maybe.
Where do you put the third bud? Mm.
There is no human answer to this.
I have an idea.
Like I told the people behind the glass, I just want to be taken out by bow and arrow like mid game. I mean, it's like, I don't, you know.
Privately, I'm going to tell you where to put the third bud.
I can think of one place.
All right. We are going to get to the draft. Again, Wednesday show with Colleen Wolf. Banger. Check it out. And we covered Giants at San Francisco, Thursday Night Football, which we will have tonight. Mark and I will have the recap of that game Thursday night for you. We already hit Pittsburgh Raiders Sunday Night Football, Eagles Bucks Monday night, and double Monday night Sizzler, Rams Bengals. So let's talk now. Yes, all the Sunday non-primetime content, starting with Pick 1 and Mark Sessler. And by the way, one last thing. This program, if you want to watch this on FAST, which is
what a
an
channel.
Acronym.
What a channel it
free,
is, by the way.
Got it. Supported television.
Nailed it. On the NFL channel, just search NFL. And you'll find us, and you can watch this Thursday show every week. There's the plug. Mark, the first overall pick. Does this show up on YouTube as well? I believe it does. Yeah, and you can also get on YouTube.
For sure.
But these are the options you have to watch us.
You don't really have an excuse not to check it out visually.
Got another tweet this morning. Hey, watching you guys on television, but not what I thought you'd look like. And again, never a compliment.
No.
Never a compliment.
We've jarred them somehow.
So how about we take the listeners, if that is your impression, take the little comment, put it back in your back pocket. Don't need it. Unless it's, wow, you guys handsome.
But it's never that.
You know, for your age and everything.
It's not that.
And
if you ain't got no haters, you ain't popping.
The pressures you face as fathers living in a major urban center.
Yeah.
And a career with a lot of pressure and eyeballs upon you. And it's always coming down on you, and there's always a practice and games, and
you're getting judged by your own like friends and family members.
Your wife needs you, and you have a mortgage, and your dog maybe got hit by a car, and maybe Aaron Rodgers blew his Achilles in the fourth play of the season. It's going to affect your physical appearance.
Yeah. Okay. All things considered, you're handsome.
Once upon a time, maybe we were better looking,
just younger.
But Mark, when you got Levi on, and you're living in Hollywood. Maybe you're the exception here.
I don't think so. I look at, when I see video of us from like 3 or 4 years ago, it's like, what the hell happened in the last 900,000 days?
Enjoy now, though, because we will see that video in 3 or 4 years and think, wow, we were looking pretty good back then.
Yeah. Well, the answer, by the way, what happened? Life in a major urban center.
That's
the
right.
Pressures of fatherhood.
It's just it's collapsing on you.
All right, time now for the number one pick of the week. Presented by DraftKings.
All right. It is kind of a strange slate, I feel like, this week. It's the first one I feel like where there aren't like 5 or 6, like, ooh, where are you going to go with this? Like, I have my fascinations. I'm going Falcons Detroit. Falcons are getting 3 points.
Okay.
Going into Michigan to try to battle the Lions. We talked a lot about the Falcons on our NFL Plus Monday recap of their game with the Packers. And this matchup to me is kind of fascinating because I was thinking about like the history of our entire show, and like you had that Falcons Matt Ryan Super Bowl type team, but has Falcons Lions ever been taken as the number one pick ever in the history of our show?
Of course, certainly not.
I don't think on any
they
level.
Also probably haven't played that often, but yeah.
Right. It's just like it kind of tells you that a lot's changed for these two teams pretty quickly, and I think for me, like what I want to watch is two things, like. The growth of Atlanta's offense, really, I feel like with Bijan Robinson, you have a bit of a cheat code where you're going to produce every week on the ground. He looks about as unstoppable as any rookie running back that I can recall. And he seems to, his role is growing. We've seen his snap count jump up last week as it should. And I think if you're like Tyler Algier, still a very talented player, like your role is going to diminish. I really trust them on the ground. I'm a little concerned about Detroit's defense. Like I thought in week one against the Chiefs, held them to 6 points in the second half. That probably would lose that game if you don't have Kadarius Toney having a complete meltdown, though. And now you've lost CJ Gardner-Johnson. James Houston is out. And even with James Houston, the pass rush has really essentially been Aiden Hutchinson and not much else. They have one sack on the season. That maybe not be the biggest concern in this game because Desmond Ridder, although threw the ball more than you'd think last week, like is a real hot and cold operation. I think it's fair to look at him and say he's a complete wait and see under center and probably kind of like the one factor that could sink that offense. But against last week against Green Bay, they ran for 4.7 yards per rush and ran the ball 45 times. And I just think if you can do that kind of thing to Detroit or on a weekly basis, you're going to be in these games late no matter what.
Yeah, it's a real test for this Lions defense, whether they've changed at all. Because they were disappointing a week ago, and they are really banged up. It goes back to the whole preseason. Can't lose anyone in the preseason. Like, it'd be a tragedy. And then we start the season, and like, half these teams, I feel like, lost like 8 starters, and the Lions are really high up. The Gardner-Johnson injury, which we mentioned Monday night, but we didn't linger on it, is massive there at safety. Really improved their team. They're hopeful he can maybe come back at the end of the season with the torn pectoral, which sometimes that works out, sometimes it doesn't. But beyond that, Taylor Decker is injured. Emmanuel Mosley, their cornerback, is injured. Vitae, their offensive lineman, who's kind of a linchpin, who really improved things, is out. And so there's just a lot of injuries that they're dealing with throughout the roster. Amon Ransom Brown is missing practice, but I assume that's not going to be like too serious. And I think that the Falcons will ask questions to your defense that other teams just don't. And yet I have my doubts that Desmond Ridder can make you pay for the one-on-one matchups that Arthur Smith can create with some of those playmakers when they do throw the ball. But they did ask him, Danny, last week to be a little different. That was the most aggressive Desmond Ridder passing game ever. And it was ugly, and it was pretty great on a few throws, too. He made some great throws, and he made some big mistakes. But they decided to put a little more on his plate, and it was way more of a roller coaster than other Desmond Ridder starts.
Yeah, we got to take some off his plate.
Yeah,
I'd agree.
And I think if people just look at the stat line, you'll be like, oh, he was okay in that game, and maybe there's room for group. But he was dreadful in that game. He hit some throws and had a nice goal line run for a touchdown. And so it wasn't like a total one of those wipeout games where there's nothing to take from. But he gave the Packers every chance to win that game with throws that were right in the chest of defenders, a really suspect early red zone pass that was floating there for the taking. And I'm just curious, didn't love Arthur Smith's game plan in week one. I didn't love it in game two, week two either, just because of how much was put on the plate of Ridder. And you have this guy now in Bijan Robinson that I wish I could give the credit to the person on X who put it out there. But they had that view that went around, the viral view of the from above of Bijan juking and spinning and just putting anyone in his area in the blender. And this person said, this is what we thought Reggie Bush was going to be coming out of college into the NFL. Like this absolute dynamo. And Reggie Bush had a fine NFL career. But the
different bodies.
Whenever he was like,
Reggie Bush was 25 pounds heavier too.
Right. But just
crazy.
In terms of like this guy, it's going to, what he did in college is going to translate. And it absolutely has. So I would like to see Desmond Ridder put in better positions, throwing the ball less. And I know it's not going to be great news for some of these pass catchers, but make this all Bijan with some more running game. I'm not saying like
throw 25 passes. He had 25 touches last week.
Right.
You can't go more.
But just take a little off Desmond's plate because I don't think he's ready for it. And Arthur Smith obviously is confident enough to give him that much of an assignment in week two when he got away with it by sheer luck. Quite honestly, they got away with how much was given to Desmond Ridder. I'm interested to see what Arthur Smith puts on the quarterback's plate after watching the game tape and seeing what happened from the sideline.
It's interesting because I think like one of the consistent frustrations for fantasy players or Falcons fans in general, it's like the Kyle Pitts thing. And like he and Drake London last week combined for 8 catches and 2 of them were for Pitts. London a year ago had 117 targets. Now he had a drops issue and had only 72 catches, but it's like he was featured a ton last year. And now they're in a situation where it's like, I kind of am with you, like have Ridder do less because it's such a variance of what he's going to give you. And they're lucky they didn't have 2 pick sixes last week. And that would have changed the whole way that game ended.
Even that one goal line setup. We talked about it on the Monday Plus show where you're asking Desmond Ridder to make passes and you're only giving Bijan the ball once. Give him the rock by the goal line.
I could see that
make it easier.
I mean, I feel like Ridder seems to get lost, like down in those red zone, that one sequence we talked about, where just like missing Falcons wideouts high and by a lot. Like it's not what you'd expect with the weapons they have in the red zone.
Yeah. I mean, they're going to be a limited offensive team. They ended up trailing in that game and had to come back. I just think the Falcons defense is in better position this year to keep these games under control in a way that they weren't a year ago, but they haven't totally been tested either. I mean, the Packers were missing people last week and week one, they got to play the Panthers, but I've really been impressed with what Ryan Nielsen has done. Their new coordinator came from the Saints and all their pickups are working. Like Onyemata's really made a big impact for them at defensive tackle. Caden Ellis has made a big impact for them at linebacker. And this is a huge test where the Lions offense really tests you in the middle of the field. I know they're without David Montgomery, but to me, they still have enough weapons to make this an offensive type of game. And I think Atlanta's defense is at least respectable enough now that they can keep the score down. This is a fun one.
I had said that a few weeks back, Greg, if the Lions came into this matchup undefeated, maybe some team of ATN run it back potential. They didn't do that. But if they spank Desmond Ritter in his little hiney,
that'll make you help.
Maybe he's still
you
got
want
it.
Anyone to beat the Falcons. So yeah,
not rooted against the Falcons. I just want us to have an open-eyed look at what's going on with
if
their
you're
quarterback
the Lions,
right now.
Like you need to say this is the game we win. Like this year's version of the Lions doesn't stumble here and go 1-2.
I'm not feeling a lot of team of ATL momentum for any team. It's possible.
Sometimes it doesn't happen.
Or
we
sometimes
don't force
it. It takes until later in the year.
By the way, the over-under on this game is 46.5, FYI.
That was the game of the week presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. New customers can bet just $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. Download the DraftKings Sports app and use code ATN. That's code ATN, only at DraftKings Sportsbook. DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL.
All right, let's move to the second pick with Greg.
Okay, I want to watch Chargers-Vikings early. They're two 0-2 teams. In a weird way that makes this game feel more important. And I find these two teams very intriguing despite their record. And I have noticed that the Chargers offense is totally different. Like Keenan Allen is making plays deep down the field. When was the last time you saw that? 2019, 2020? Like Herbert's ADOT, you know, his average depth of target is higher than it's been throughout his career. They're third in offensive DVOA through 2 weeks. I think Herbert's taken some sacks and is taking a little while to process in spots. You'd love him to make a little quicker decision, but they're last in defense. So it's to me, it's all on the defense. And this is a matchup where you think that the offenses are both going to win, but I'm confident that the Chargers offense, and I know that's going against Brian Flores and he's cooking up some new things here, but I like watching this Chargers offense so far. It sounds like Austin Eckler is going to be back, and I think the Vikings are going to have to score a lot to keep up in this one.
By the way, Vikings -1 in this game, so Vegas sees it close.
It just feels like the Chargers are going to be in these games that come right down to the end, and allowing teams like the same way that, you know, Minnesota crawled back against the Eagles last week, because I think with Justin Jefferson, with their passing game in general, they're never too far away from like making an impact, making a game close. And the Chargers just opened the door to that. Like, I mean, a week ago, we were wondering if Ryan Tannehill's career might be over. And he goes 20 for 20. Well, no, but it was like he looked like he had fallen off a cliff.
I know, but I always thought that, yeah, I guess I hadn't.
Me and you came
into the season saying he's underrated. And so we didn't need to flip so fast.
But it's like, I guess I'm more saying that the Chargers don't want to operate when your head coach is this defensive specialist. You're in year three. It's their clear Achilles, and they just open the door and allow teams to get right on that side of the ball.
Well, the whole point of the Brandon Staley defense, remember, is that, oh, well, we prevent big plays. Like, that's the whole idea. The whole Vic Fangio thing. It's why there's articles written about the deep ball is dead in the NFL. And it's basically because of the Vic Fangio defensive tree, of which Brandon Staley is one. But who gives up more deep balls than any team in the league? It's the Chargers. They're worse defending the pass than any team. And this is a tough team. This Vikings team are better going deep than they've ever been, because they don't just have Jefferson. They don't just have Osborne. They now have Jordan Addison, who's a ball player, Danny. And I think there could be a lot of fantasy points here for the Vikings.
I think if you drafted Kirk Cousins, if you drafted Justin Jefferson, there is now we got Cam Akers in the building. I don't know what their running game. I really need to see the Vikings running game.
Well, there's been nothing to see.
And if they can, I'm not out on the Vikings yet. I know that they're 0-2 as well. But I think in their division, they absolutely can get back on their feet and be a player here. But they got to win this game. And you got to defend your home turf. It's a really tough pull for the Chargers. And we mentioned that letting both of those games slip away puts you in such a bad spot, because Minnesota is not going to be a team that's going to be easy to beat at home in this situation. An 0-2 team at home, needing the W that's mostly healthy. That is going to be a very difficult ask for the Chargers. I think Minnesota is going to put up a lot of points in this game. Now, it's another test for Herbert. Herbert's going to be tested all season unless something changes here on Los Angeles's other side of the ball, where he's going to be asked to keep scoring, stay healthy, put up points every week, and yes, come up with some of these drives to bail out the defense and win some of these games late, which hasn't happened yet.
Yeah, and it's 2 weeks in a row where there was another narrative where Justin Herbert comes out as the hero, and it's not just him, but like They didn't answer it last week at all. And it's like there was a chance for Justin Herbert to write a different type of story. I like the Cam Akers pickup because
it was free. It was a late round swap.
I was just kind of thinking like who's going to actually go after him and where can he play a role?
It's such a silly trade. It shouldn't be allowed. A swap of late round draft picks in 3 years.
Yeah.
Just who are we fooling here?
Well, not you.
What are we doing?
It's just so the Rams don't have to like feel ashamed that they.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Don't waste our time. Like we don't need the insiders. Don't even sleep because the bosses tell them they're not allowed to miss any scoops. So you got Rapsheed's wife, you know, shoving his shoulder at 4 a.m.
Yeah.
To say, oh, there a trade just went down. Your phone's blowing up.
She's telling him.
How about Cam Akers? How about the Rams have to take the L that because Cam Akers did not, what was it called again?
The culture scenario.
The culture did not adhere to the culture in Los Angeles. The Rams have a culture. You do not adhere to the culture. You must leave.
Is that like Les Snead's assistant or something? Who's?
It's McVay mostly, but yeah. So I don't know. Just stupid trade. Go ahead.
No, I like it, Duncan. Yeah. Like, Vikings, 41 yards against the Bucks, 28 on the ground against the Eagles. Like, and they said it wasn't a Alexander Mattison like lack of confidence. Well, it is a little bit. I mean, he's got competition.
They had one of the
now.
Worst backup running back situations in the league. I mean, the two of them will share. We'll see. Akers has been very up and down as a pro, but I think has always been a little overrated.
Isn't it quickly how it changes? It went from all summer everybody being like. Well, I'm not saying Dalvin Cook has been great shakes in New York so far, but it was like, oh, yeah, Madison, he'll be fine.
No problem.
He's going to step
in.
And I know Dalvin Cook has averaged 1,500 yards from scrimmage for six straight years, but they got Madison. He's fine.
Well,
and then what happens?
That line is brutal, and they were missing Christian Darrisaw last week.
Just saying. Sometimes we just.
They signed Dalton Reisner. I think Darrisaw's back for this game.
I'm so with you.
We do a little summer plug and play sometimes as analysts in our industry, and it's like, well, we got to see it.
I mean, but we're playing along with the whole thing because it's like we all know realistically you get to week three, half these rosters are shredded. So these people that you're talking about,
I think
about
the running game is a function of the team around them. And look, there's certainly no one in Minnesota that wishes they had Dalvin Cook right now. So whether Madison was good enough to fill in,
I don't know. I totally disagree. There's no one in Minnesota.
I mean, they would love to have Dalvin Cook from 3 years ago, but if they're watching Dalvin Cook's tape this year, who's in a similarly bad situation, I think they'd have to say, like, we're not missing him right now.
Maybe. I mean,
am I crazy?
I mean, they willingly moved on. So I mean, not everyone in Minnesota.
I guess I'm not. I know it's going to sound like because he's a Jet, but I'm still not ready to say Dalvin Cook is washed right now. Like, totally washed. He was expensive.
No, I'm not ready to say that either, but I don't think they would think he would be solving what is going on there. That's all.
I understand that. Now, can Madison play the guitar? That's all I'm saying. There was an assumption that he obviously could.
Joey Bosa, give me more than 19 snaps this week. This is a guy who hasn't played more than 575 snaps only three times in his career.
Like, easy for you to say in your podcast, Joe.
They need him.
He had two sacks last week.
I know, that's what I mean. He's so good when he plays, but it's like they really need him on the field because Khalil Mack has not given them much.
Hmm. Now, there's a guy that maybe it's time. maybe it's time.
Time to what?
To not view him as an impact player.
Well, I think we reached that location.
All right, where are we at? I'm up. Here we go. First game. It should be gone, guys. It should be gone. Buffalo at Washington. I like the Bills. The way they looked in week two, it showed again that that's a stable operation with good leadership. That after a pretty harrowing Monday night with your franchise star. Just setting himself on fire, basically. They were able to look like the Bills we expect and Western New York expects them to be, and they hammered the Raiders. Now let's talk about the Commanders, though. Let's have a little conversation about the Commanders because there's a couple different ways you could look at the Washington Commanders. You could look at it they're a team that almost got beat by Arizona and needed a comeback in week one. 120-16, okay? And then you could say, well, they won last week too, but they were down 21-3 to the Broncos. And so the opponents have been soft. The schedule's been soft. However, they did come back against the Cardinals. And that second half performance of the offense by the offense against Denver was really nice. And the defense as well, quite honestly. Like, there was a Hail Mary at the end that put a little lipstick on the pig there for Denver. But Washington's play on both sides of the ball and closing out these two games is notable one. And Sam Howell has made some big time eye-opening throws in these games. And he has my curiosity now.
He is feisty. He's, I mean, everyone is welcome to enjoy Sam Howell. I think they should, but I feel like he'd be in my stable of boys right now. I'm loving myself.
Can I just say
a little Sam Howell?
Do we want to put this team on the radar of team of ATN?
I'm down. I threw it out there before the season. They might lose this game and be 2-1, but that doesn't bother me.
You were talking about the Lions as the team of ATN.
Well, just as a team that we like. It's intriguing. I said, wouldn't it be very, I forget what the word was, transgressive to go Commanders team of it.
Right. Maybe a year ago or the past 20 years, it would never happen. But considering the change in culture there, the culture is different now.
It's very different.
If Sam Howell's going to be kind of a bit of a young gunslinger type here, and young and sweaty is back, and Daron Payne is making plays, and Terry McLaurin might have a guy that could actually sling him the rock, and you got Curtis Samuel doing his little fun stuff, and Brian Robbins.
It also feels like a gesture at Dan Snyder to pick them now, too, which I always enjoy.
You would enjoy that. And I'm not against that concept. I know they're in that. They'd be in that running because I think Howell will just – he's not perfect. And I don't really have a problem with some of their up and down nature over the first couple of games when you're going in there with a quarterback that's so inexperienced. But, like, he just makes things happen. And, like, it's kind of like the quarterback I like to watch. Just, like, I don't know how Ron Rivera stumbled across this because it's like he seemed to intentionally try to not find a quarterback over the course of half a decade and hold on to his job and get into the playoffs with like 9 wins.
They're pretty
steadfast
though, like to start this offseason. We're going to ride Howell.
No, and they've said that all along. And like
it was funny.
They don't click fools.
His quote right before the season, like, if I would have known he was that good, I would have played him sooner. So like Ron was gassing up Sam before the season started.
That also tells you that Ron Rivera was closer to Sam Howell than anyone else on earth all of last season. And unlike Colin Kaepernick in San Francisco, when they're like, this guy's too hard to keep off the field. We're watching him in practice. It's like, you didn't self-scout the entire.
Sam Howell's brother, like Terry Howell?
Well, I'm saying is Terry Howell practice at every practice? Like Ron Rivera's like, oh, I should have. You shouldn't be telling us that, maybe.
Do you know if Terry Howell is at every practice?
I don't know for sure.
Terry's a good guy, a good football mind.
You know who's not in yet, by the way?
T. Howell.
Vegas, the desert. Right now, 6.5 points of wood being laid to the visiting team. So the idea here is that Washington's not ready or the Bills are that good.
Well, like from like a team of ATL standpoint, like let's say a bomb is dropped on Washington. The football team on a football field, not the city, like by the Bills. Then it's like we start to not believe they're fully cooked.
It's a long process and they're fun. And to me, a 10-win fun, you know, just different sort of season is perfect for Team ATL. And I think that's what Sam Howell could provide. I mean, watching that game, it was hard for me not to think like, oh, he's young Russ. I mean, that is his comp in the NFL. He's got the same sort of body type, the same sort of runner, the same sort of deep ball, the same sort of, I'm going to hold the ball forever, and it's going to be too long sometimes, and bad things are going to happen sometimes because of that, but good things are going to happen because of that, too. I'm not saying he has the ceiling of young Russell Wilson necessarily, but he's the same type of player, and they've really looked sharp on offense in a way I don't think they were last year, and Eric Bieniemy needs to get credit because he'd be getting buried if he went to Washington and they stunk and the Chiefs offense is rolling. And yet not many people are really talking about like, oh, wow, your screen game is really on point. And to me, that's good coaching. That's offensive line. That's coaching. Meanwhile, the Chiefs are, you know, stinking on offense and Eric Bieniemy's gone. So he's had a nice start. I'm not saying they're like rolling it, but this is a much different test to play the Bills defense.
They were rolling in the second half at Mile High.
I can't remember the last time I enjoyed offense, yeah.
I mean, maybe there's a football head will point out the like the 2017 week 14 through 16 window or something. I can't remember the last time that I enjoyed watching Washington football on offense.
They made it tough. They made it tough for a long time, and the organization had a stink that was unappealing as well.
And then the Commanders have 4 defensive linemen, and we'll get to you, Bills fans, quickly, because I know we got to move on, but look, their offensive line, if there's any question about the Bills, it's their offensive line. Now they got to go against this young and sweaty Daron Payne and Jonathan Allen. Those 4 guys had 25 pressures last week. Not the team. That's a big number for a team. Just those four guys. So that's a nice.
Don't worry. Josh Allen has a plan. He's going to jump over them. They're set.
And the Bills want to be physical. Like, they have their two tight ends. They're starting to run the ball. So that's a really nice test when they have.
Dawson Knox was not at practice on Thursday, though, with a back issue.
Bacchiotomy. Hey, Eric, producer, very important. If the Washington Commanders win on Sunday, that's a major development in Team of ATM potential. Can you get in touch with Terry Howell just in case they win so we could have him on the Monday night show?
Yeah, I think
even the Sunday flagship show.
The brother of would be a great guest.
Yeah, definitely. Nope, we're not hearing you, Eric.
Yeah, he had his moment there.
Lots of buttons back here. Can you hear me now?
Yeah,
got you.
I got him lined up. Yep. There you go.
Okay. Perfect.
He's also a Bills fan.
He's already lined up.
Right. I don't know if he has a brother and if his brother's name is Terry or brother named Terry. Are they close? I don't know.
That hinges on the Bills losing, though, correct?
There's
that's
a number
what
of
it would
things.
Take. Okay. Yeah. Yes. I mean, well, that right. primarily would be.
Well, hopefully I'm not making that call.
He's wearing a Bills hat, so he can't imagine all that wood being laid and then being burned. All right.
Kind of a wild spread.
All right, let's take a break, and then we'll continue with the draft.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by three-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game. King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think he could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all. But I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think, he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on top of that.
I'm not guarding like that, CJ.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came to my room crying tears. he was in a culture shock. And then he's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college because it ain't it?
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you tired of your scented cleaning products smelling and cleaning like meh? Then it's time for an upgrade with the power of Clorox Scentiva. With an uplifting scent that smells like coconut, Clorox Scentiva gives you powerful clean like Clorox, but a feeling like being transported to a tropical island retreat. Imagine putting your phone on Do Not Disturb, tuning out all the constant, just the feeling of warm sand in between your toes and a fruity drink in your hand. The ones with the little umbrella. Refresh your home to feel like an all-inclusive vacation by getting Clorox Scentiva. Also available in grapefruit and lavender scents at a nearby retail store.
All right, we are back, and Snake's back to me in the old week 3 draft, and I will take, we have some demons to slay in the swamps of Jersey, because the New England Patriots are coming to the Meadowlands to face the Jets. This is not the ideal setup on a number of levels. Obviously, I'd like Aaron Rodgers to be playing for the Jets. I also would rather the Pats not be in a desperate place at 0-2. That does not fill me with a lot of confidence because I know, obviously, teams play different. There's an urgency level. The Patriots cannot lose this game. Statistically, the data tells you that almost every 0-3 team is cooked. It's such a big hole, even with an added game to the schedule. So now the Jets have to. Now, here's the positive side, Greggy. And for a Patriots fan, it's the flip side. The Jets can bury the Patriots in week 3. They could send that organization and fan base into a tailspin before the calendar flips over to October. Now they have to do it, and they have to do it with their defense and their running game. The Jets got away from their running game. Now the Cowboys played a big role in that, and you saw how the Cowboys had answers for everything the Jets were doing in week two. I thought that was a masterclass from McCarthy and company. Breece Hall needs to get the ball more than four times. Breece Hall needs to get the ball like the Falcons need to give Bijan Robinson the ball, quite frankly, because you can't put too much on Zach Wilson's plate. You need a dash of Zach Wilson and keep guys like Garrett Wilson, a playmaker, in the mix. But you win the game at the running game, and the defense, after being humbled by the Cowboys in week two, has to take it, Greggy, to Mac Jones and an offense for the Patriot that has to work very hard to manufacture. And you have to get after Mac Jones and punish him in this game.
The two quarterbacks in this game are in a tough spot. These are the two worst offensive lines in the NFL, the Jets and the Patriots, in terms of pass block win rate. So they're just losing over and over. There is certainly not a worse tackle combination when Trent Brown is out of the lineup than the Patriots. Calvin Anderson was like a journeyman who didn't touch the field in training camp. He's just been a turnstile. Left tackle, they actually are starting. They started last week. The Vikings' sixth tackle was there, and they came in and they brought their guards in who were injured and drank them, and they were terrible. So that matchup against the Jets is just a brutal mismatch, and it's why I'm actually impressed with how Mac Jones has played this year on balance. Like, he's sixth in the league in completion over completion percentage over expected. I think he's done well enough with what he has, and they don't have an explosive element. I would say it's almost as big of a mismatch the other way. Maybe it's bigger because, yeah, the Patriots aren't quite as good up front, but they're good. And the Jets offensive line is struggling. And more importantly, they have Zach Wilson as their quarterback, who against Belichick has just been a total disaster. 50% completion percentage, two touchdowns and four starts, seven interceptions, and he just hasn't gotten it done. So it's going to be a defensive game. It's hard to imagine it won't. It's a very Belichick game. We're here at the end of Belichick's career. You can get the greatest hits of all of his.
Says you.
His Browns game. I'm just saying, like, his Browns career, his Jets defensive coordinator, his Patriots. It's just, like, ugly defense. That's what we'll see.
They, like, if the Patriots were to fall to 0-3, I would spend a morning listening to WEEI, because I think that they're going to have a meltdown situation. Like, you just don't. We're in new territory if that were to happen to them. That said, I mean, this is a good spot, I think, for the Patriots, because Bill Belichick feasts on quarterback situations like this, where you're just hoping, and it's like, it gets dull to just keep talking about Zach Wilson's inefficiency and inability. It's like, I'm not trying to go down that road, but it's just that outside of Breece Hall, and maybe, like, you can get two games in a row, there's been a scoring strike to Garrett Wilson. Last week, that was, like, mainly the only positive thing that Zach Wilson did for the most part. You get one of those, and you get a ton of Breece Hall. Like, this game feels like 14-10 to me or something like that. And I think this thing, you still have the strength of the deep Jets defensive line that comes at you in waves. And it's like, they kind of got it taken to them on defense last week. That was as surprising as anything else that's happened to the Jets this season, was that, you know, Dak Prescott opens, like, I think 13 for 13. They're totally efficient. And everything you thought you could count on from New York on that side of the ball didn't really show up. It was more like the big plays they didn't make on defense that kind of separated that game early. So, I don't know. The Jets are in a tough spot. You got to be almost, you got to hope that this quarterback doesn't make a key mistake, except it's one of the most reliable things happening on a weekly basis in the NFL.
I think last year's matchups, it could be something similar. And that still sits. It sits with me in a way that annoys me, that they had a pick six of Mac Jones late in the first half in their first matchup at the Meadowlands last year that would have had him up 17-3 at halftime. It got taken off the board on a bogus roughing the passer call. The Patriots end up winning that game. Then the next time they meet in Foxborough, it's a defensive stalemate. Neither offense can move a yard. And the Pats win on a walk-off punt return at the end of regulation. And I think you're going to see it again. I think both quarterbacks will struggle. I think we're going to have a low scoring game, but now this is where the Jets, in, you know, year three of Saleh, year two of this young nucleus on D, they got to win a ball game. Like I talk about Justin Herbert, this Jets defense needs to make the plays because I think the Patriots, even their running game, the Pats, which we look at Ramondre Stevenson, like, that hasn't gotten going yet.
Yeah, their line is terrible.
It is.
Right now.
It is the Jets defense. After, again, getting humbled by Dallas, you could not have more bulletin board material for a Patriots team that's won 22 of the last 24 meetings in this quote-unquote rivalry. You got to kick the ass of the Patriots offense and score. score on defense and win 17-3. It's time to show that's if this is a team that's going to survive and be matter in December, there is no messing around here. You beat a very mediocre Patriots team and you keep moving.
Checking if it was the lowest over under of the week. It is 37. Patriots 2.5 points on the road.
Does that surprise
favored
you? What? I know that everyone's out on the Jets now and I get it, but Pat's favored on the road in this matchup?
It's like a little surprising, but I think that's reflecting, like, I don't know if the numbers totally say it yet or not, but I think it's might be reflecting, yes, the Patriots are 0-2, but you still think they're a better team than they were a year ago. And that team was able to beat Zach Wilson twice. So I think it's just that feeling of
sure.
of Zach Wilson. I'm really looking forward to Christian Gonzalez on Garrett Wilson. We'll see if he actually travels with him, but Christian Gonzalez off to a really nice yes. start as a pro.
Looks great on Sunday.
Not saying
night.
He's like Sauce Gardner or anything, but they got a first round cornerback. He looks like a good pick, and that'll be a fun match.
All right, let's keep moving. Greg, it's back to you.
I am gonna take the late game that I want. It's not a great late slate, but I'm gonna take Panthers at Seahawks just because I want to watch my boy Geno live and in person. I won't be in person. But I'm excited. Okay. The Seahawks are favored by 6 now.
You want to do a second take
that
on that?
That line moved up. I mean, 405, that's a disappointment too. I don't care. It's the game I want to watch. I want to watch the Seahawks against this Panthers defense. I think it's a game the Seahawks, if they have taken any steps forward from a year ago and certainly from week one, should be good enough to slow down a Panthers attack that's probably starting Andy Dalton. And it's maybe it's just me.
I love it.
But personally, as someone who wants the Seahawks to win this game, because I'm locking them up, I'm not going to mess around building up to I actually feel less good about this with Andy Dalton starting than Bryce Young. I don't think that's that crazy to say. I just think at this point in their careers, mm-hmm. Andy Dalton will get the ball out a little quicker with a bad offensive line in front of him. He's just been in the NFL a long time. And Bryce Young, I don't think he's been bad, but he's been out with his ankle injury. And there's just a lot to ask of a rookie quarterback. I actually give Dalton a better chance. Kind of like when he played for Justin Fields, when Fields was a rookie a couple years ago in Chicago. It's like, oh, actually, they were a little better with Dalton.
What's the spread on this one?
It's 6 now. It's up to 6.
Okay. And the other one you were hunting was maybe the Bengals were starting their backup quarterback.
Yeah. Although the Rams are underdogs.
I see how Greg's winning these trophies. Who's starting their backup quarterback?
I mean, give me a break. You took. Are we really counting this? Like, you took the Chiefs in week one, and you got a big freaking L on it. You took the Seahawks in week one. We were the exact same favorites, and I took a lower Falcons 3-point favorite.
You're very brave.
You weren't honking there.
You're very brave.
You blew those picks.
You're very brave.
Have you taken both Super Bowl teams back-to-back, week one and week two?
Yeah. So let's calm down.
I don't know.
What have you done besides lose relentlessly in this game?
It's been one L after the next. I'm not really critiquing. I was more asking a question. But
maybe none of us have covered ourselves in glory so far. But Greg, we see how he's taking these trophies home.
What are you talking about? If we could add up the point spreads in our three games and they'd be the same or yours would be more.
It's very hard to get you mad, Greg, but this for some reason always gets you and I love it.
Well, I do. It's because it's a game that at first like didn't have any rules and I always thought it's a stupid game if it doesn't have rules. Like you have to look at a mirror. But now we have a rule. I'd be all for changing the rules and putting the number lower.
I'm just saying,
you know, you could say it's under 5 or whatever if you really want.
The only thing I'm saying, this is smart. It's savvy because the spread will probably go out of the lock zone once they officially name Dalton starter.
Oh, no, I was surprised because, like I said, I think Andy Dalton gives them a much better chance to win. Maybe not much, but a better chance. And I think it went from 5.5 to 6 with that news.
Yeah. Cool.
Andy Dalton played well last year.
Right.
I'm cool with your lock, Greg. I'm just having fun. That's all.
I know. I mean, it's fun to get fired up. I think that's good. I will never take it personally. It's this game I've been trying to bury.
You will definitely take it personally.
If I win 4 out of 5, I'm taking it out.
No.
So I don't know.
There's 3 of us and there's a vote. It's a bad sitch for
you. I
don't
really believe this.
It's a tough sitch. It's just fun. All right. Anything else in this game?
Yeah. Come on. Let's give the Panthers some. How about a bad offensive line versus a really bad Seahawks pass rush? So I'm a little concerned about the Seahawks defense.
That kind of just erases both.
Right. So can you get something done here?
I feel like Frankie Louvu, every time I watch the Panthers, he's doing something
He's great.
Wild and
but
wonderful.
Then he misses his tag team partner, Shaq Thompson. J.C. Horn's still out there. Their front line is good. I thought it was interesting last year. They're the number five overall pick, Devin Witherspoon, was very much like the main character of Seahawks Lions for about three quarters of that game. Made a couple big plays that ended drives, but was relentlessly picked on by Jared Goff and the Lions offense and really struggled for the most part. So I'm just someone to watch.
I have a wild take, by the way. First of all, this is your chance before we move on, Mark, to get a shotgun blast off on the head coach of the Panthers.
Well, I want to see what he does with Andy Dalton. I just think their offense has been vastly unimpressive and not very watchable. That's not like, the calling card for
I feel
Frank
like
Reich.
Our pod's been a little hot last week or so with everything is the coach's fault. Like, what is he working with really right now?
An inexperienced young quarterback who's also the first overall pick. But
like Adam Thielen is a primary receiver in this offense. Like,
it's not a bounty of weapons. I don't think anyone's saying it is.
I'm not saying Frank Reich should be absolved if the offense stinks this year or the team is bad, but I don't know. The players play the games.
I'm with you. I wanted to give it. My thing with him in this team is I want to evaluate a new situation like this over time.
Yeah.
I expected this team to be bad. It's why I locked against them week one. I meant to last week. Remember I was saying Saints, but I flipped off it, but they lost it. And I'm doing it. I'm just, as long as they stay in the lock zone, anti-Panthers.
Seattle take, by the way. Next time Tyler Lockett scores, and trust me, Tyler Lockett's going to score as long as his body is willing, because he's a very good, maybe the most underrated receiver of the last 10 years. Throw it out there. Tyler Lockett, watch closely, doesn't know how to spike a football.
Okay.
Go check out the footage of his touchdown. He had the walk-off, of course.
Yeah.
He grabs it, and I imagine his hands are probably larger than average. But when he does the windmill, it's almost like it's coming out of his hands, and then you can't bring it down with any level of ferocity, and it just kind of, it underwhelms as a spike. Mm. He seems like someone that it would be a value add for him and his brand to change his touchdown celebration.
Have you tracked and gone back through previous seasons and campaigns?
Well, the reason why,
issue?
You know, we followed him for his whole career now, and when he did it, when I was watching 2 days ago, I was like, oh, he's always doing that. It's always kind of a uninspiring spike. Last thing is, how many more Andy Dalton starts are we going to get? How many?
Ever.
So I'm going to enjoy this.
12.
I've always liked the glowing ginger man. All right, Mark, you're up. You think there'll be 12 more?
Yeah, I think he'll play beyond this season and do some patchwork. You know, half these quarterbacks get lost to the mist.
The new Cole
anyways.
McCoy, perhaps?
I hope Bryce Young getting hurt is not like a recurring thing, but we'll see. It's just an angle injury.
Yeah,
a little weird that they can't have him run the sneaks and they just have Andy Dalton come into the game.
Tough.
Run a sneak. A little weird.
Check out that Tyler Lockett spike video. That's all I'm going to say.
Put that out on, you should X that, and then like I'll re-X it for you.
Make a X video.
Yeah.
Got it.
For you, well. Repost, I believe, is their official term.
I'm re-Xing it.
What is it?
Repost. They like cannot have the word tweet on it.
We cannot. It does not adhere to our culture.
This guy again.
Okay, go.
All right. Going to go Titans at Browns. Kareem Hunt, signed by Cleveland.
Pinch me.
I don't know. I think if anything, he knows the system and the playbook. I wonder what kind of shape he's in. But
I had a in my league of record. I had my buddy Greg,
I met that guy.
Yeah, the guy who runs the league, Berger, spent his entire budget on Jerome Ford, and then Greg, who's had the most championship success in our league historically, went in the back door and got Kareem Hunt, was patting himself on the back over it. And I said, that is a nice pickup, especially you paid $4 or whatever, and Berger paid $60. But Kareem Hunt, there's kind of a reason maybe he was unemployed until this point, and he didn't put a lot on tape, maybe even the last couple of years.
I guess I don't hate that he didn't go through a whole preseason and all this stuff, and if he's fresh, it's kind of like, it'll work. Thing happened. I haven't done fantasy in a million years, but I got this, like, waiver wire scenario, try to get Jerome Ford, get totally banged on that, didn't get him. Then it's like 4 a.m, like, oh, Kareem Hunt news. Like, I just picked him up for free off the street.
Smart.
That's called strategy. That's a solid,
Greg's
that's
picking
a sound
up Kareem Hunt
office.
For his son, Walker, right now.
I believe someone does have it in that league. No one did. Nobody cares about your fantasy team.
No, they don't.
But go on.
Well, I just, you know, it's obviously my fandom with the Browns is in a strange place. But I felt something on Monday night. I felt agitated to watch what happened to Nick Chubb, the way they lost that game in general. It's kind of like this recurring DNA of like, oh yeah, the worst possible thing will occur, and they can't beat Pittsburgh in Pittsburgh, and they.
It was a lot.
It was a lot. It wasn't the Monday night previous. I'm not equating it to that.
We're not doing that.
It had some of the same sort of horrid energy.
I would say, if you would allow me, I said the mask slipped. This was really Monday night was the first real post Mark divorce with the Browns game in a lot of ways. Like week one's busy. It's Sunday. Last year was last year with Watson. Monday night, your quarterback's on the field against the Steelers, and everything was still there. It's all still there. It's all still within you.
I acknowledge that it agitated me because I see actually more potential in this Browns team than anyone in a long, long time. And it's for me, it's stuff they never had before. And it's like the thing that isn't changing or going away is how deep their defense is and how much it seems to be working under Jim Schwartz. And it's like, this is a crazy game because they can stop the run. They can make life very difficult for Ryan Tannehill. Bad offensive line. I think we could go back somewhere. We're not going to get 20 for 24 from Tannehill this time around, not with the way the secondary is playing. They're a little banged up here and there, Cleveland. But I just trust them to inflict damage. But then you've got this Titans defense that is nasty against the run. The Chargers like ran all over the place on the Dolphins in week 1. They were shut down last week. They didn't have Eckler, but like I don't think that's the only reason that happened. It's because Tennessee remains a nasty, gritty team that's going to be in close games. And I think it's going to be a tough test for Cleveland. I do think Jerome Ford, the only thing about the Kareem Hunt is Jerome Ford is a good player. Like, I mean, we saw it last week.
They chose him over Kareem Hunt repeatedly.
They did. And so I think that you've got to, it's going to tough fantasy situation because you don't want to know what the workload will be, but like, they can still run the ball. And it's like, hey, Deshaun Watson, it's kind of on you to give us something different of a sample size than what we've seen over like a season. I heard this on PFF, like he's been sacked more over the last two seasons than Patrick Mahomes, and he missed 12 games.
It's really on him now the rest of the season, but it's really on him in this week because the Titans' run defense is so good that you have to throw the ball against them, and they're vulnerable in the back end. They're a little banged up, and this is what you pay for. And it's funny. I actually think Watson's struggles has been weirdly under-talked about. Like, to me, it's one of the biggest football stories. Throw everything else out that frustrated me, that disgusted me about Deshaun Watson. Throw all that out. Just from a football vantage point, he's so incredibly disappointing now, and you've made all these excuses. Like, when are we going to run out of the, oh, he's been gone for a while excuse? Like, he's had two full training camps with this team. Like, he was there all last offseason. He was there all this offseason. There are 34 quarterbacks who've had 250 dropbacks over the last 2 years. He's dead last in EPA per pass. He's 29th in success rate, and he just doesn't look comfortable. I think he looks better this year. There are some quality throws. I don't think he's going to be the worst quarterback in the league, but right now he's somewhere between 20 and 30. And it's like we just keep making excuses where guys like Josh Dobbs or Jacoby Brissett, they come in and they play around the same level right away, and he has to be frustrated. Everyone has to be frustrated. They have to make the passing game work. I don't know how it's going to be, but he never looked like this in Houston. Like,
yeah,
he never looked this uncomfortable.
I would very frustrated if you're a Browns fan, and certainly as we talked about on the sideline, you could see with Stefanski, some of his pocket awareness, and
yeah.
That's an issue. Like the fact that the strip and score, that is partly because he didn't feel it. He wasn't feeling it. Taking that late sack when they still had a chance, it was just he's not feeling it. Now, the pick six that started the game, I don't think that was really on him. Maybe the pass could have been better, but that was a drop into a pick six. And week one, I think there was some good things. So I'm not banging the panic button and being making excuses for him, but that also was a pretty tough setting. You had Chubb going down in that game.
Eight games, like Taylor Heinicke would throw in a heater on one of those.
But again,
eight games.
You put a lot more stock into last year.
Sure.
Like I'm saying, in terms of Watson and saying what's up with this guy, give me to the end of the month here. Let's see what he looks like after four games. Give me a little bit more of a sample size, But yeah, he's certainly not carrying the team, and that's what they kind of need now.
And it is like, I'm with you, Greg, that it's a huge football story, because look at how we treated like the sharp decline of Russell Wilson. That was like a shocking decline.
Josh Allen was the story of the week because he had a bad week.
And I mean, there's other, Brock Purdy comes in off the street and plays competent football. And it's like, we're not even getting like, when is the last game where a quarterback had two face mask calls against? Like, what's going on with this guy?
And he bumped the official.
It's like a little manic. There's a little bit of a, definitely could see it.
What?
He's not comfortable.
No. All right. This Titans, we should talk a little Titans. Look, the Tajay Spears thing is happening already.
It's a
58 snaps to 78 for Henry.
Tip of the spear.
He's been nice. And D-Hop, Hopkins is not Julio Jones there, but he's also not yet.
He's a piece.
He's not yet D-Hop from Arizona. And that might just be a situational thing.
They did get the deep ball going last week. I wonder if that's even possible against Cleveland.
This reeks of 20-16.
I'm taking the 17-13.
Titans getting 3.5 points in this.
All right. I think that's too much.
All right. Mark.
All right. I'm taking my late game. Dallas at Arizona. So that means that stadium will probably be 75% Cowboys fans. Seems to happen to the Cardinals on a weekly basis. Sounds like Brandon Cooks, who practiced Thursday, will finally emerge here. I've been resistant to the whole concept of the Cowboys because I think there's this part of me that's like, there's no way I can do 2 weeks of Super Bowl lead up if it's Jerry Jones and that in this cast of characters. But I'm starting just to give in.
Why not? They haven't been in the Super Bowl in 27 years.
I'm saying I'm beginning to give in to the concept a little bit because they look so far like the best team in the NFC. Where the Eagles are a little, not really fully themselves yet, it feels like. The Cowboys, they got it going on. And like Dak Prescott opens 13 for 13 last week across the field at the same time, Zach Wilson, and it's not a Zach Wilson, they got 9 yards. Just that the Cowboys came out hot against
a
top three defense. Arizona's been really frisky. I watched that game closely last Sunday, and guys like Dennis Gardeck, who has 4 sacks already, the Barbarian. Is he from like Sioux Falls or something like that? I don't know where he's from, but like they've been good on defense. They've hassled quarterbacks, and Josh Dobbs was frisky. That said, I just see this to
frisky.
This gets to be the game where it's like these Cardinals close, hanging around third, fourth quarter. Probably not this time.
It's a tough ask for the Cowboys. The Cowboys are going to come out of these three games probably with just an outrageous point differential.
Yes.
Well, they have the highest one of their entire franchise history since 1968 right now.
I thought that Jets game, that first drive was so telling. McCarthy had a nice game. Dak had a nice game. They knew how to attack that defense. They got rid of the ball quickly to kind of mitigate the pass rush. But the biggest play in that game to me was the 3rd and 6 in the red zone to start the game on the very first drive where Dak gets back to the top of his drop and the Jets pass rush actually won on that play. And Dak so decisively just ran up the middle. He just looked faster and he looked like he made a play he wouldn't have made a year ago. And that leads to a touchdown. And you're seeing good decision-making out of Dak. Very, very professional. And you're matching up against some cornerbacks here, Kentrell Clark and Marco Wilson, where it's just you're going to find some mismatches.
Yeah, and I guess you could look at it a couple different ways, but I give credit to Jonathan Gannon for this team has been competitive in the first 2 weeks, but it could kind of weigh on an organization and in a locker room when you have victory stolen away from you 2 straight weeks, and now you potentially have a buzzsaw situation. It's like the worst time to get the Cowboys because they are feeling invincible. I think this game is, this one's got a grisly final score attached to it. I believe when we talk about it Sunday.
I'll just say this, we're nobody's underdog.
Certainly not.
They're not the underdog this week. They're giving up 12 and a half points.
12 and a half.
That's the opposite of underdog. Home.
Everything's just fast for them
It's a college spread.
I love it. They're moving fast, the tempo, like everything's fast.
I thought they, again, and I'm a bigger McCarthy fan than you guys, but I just thought that entire team and Dan Quinn, they were so ready for the Jets on both sides of the ball. Mm-hmm. And if you're watching that game, Bob Sala and Nate Hackett, like, man, they just took it to us and they had a quarterback playing at a high level and we don't. Speaking of Mike McCarthy, who's a Beyonce fan?
I mean, I'm a fan. I certainly listen.
Best Super Bowl halftime show I've ever seen.
I'm not like,
I don't know if Greg and I are in the A-Hive.
I mean, I was a huge, you know, I was a huge Lemonade guy. I'm the one person that defends the Carters album. You know,
the one person
I like. I feel like no one likes. I was like, I feel
that's
like
not
it's
getting
bangers.
A lot of spins. Like, I wouldn't say that's high in the streaming.
I still, I'll still throw it on.
I think I think Lemonade is one of the great albums of the last 10 years. Which it's bonkers to me. Eric, your wonderful wife saw Beyonce in Vegas, and she doesn't play Lemonade at all on this tour, which gets me mad.
Yeah, my wife mainly had she didn't really have a problem with the song selection. She had a problem with her the area she was sitting in. She's not hyped enough for her.
Yeah, you got to be hyped at the Beyonce show. Yeah. Long way to get to the point that Beyonce is playing at AT&T Stadium. And of course, you asked the head coach of the Cowboys, you going to see Beyonce?
You want Beyonce tonight, coach?
No, but my family's going.
Oh, well, there you go.
It's a work night for me. I don't know if you know that,
it's a work night. Okay. And guess who's doing a lot of work right now, leading maybe the best team in football? It's Mike McCarthy. Zaddy.
I'm totally with you. Like, I think one of the things I would like really wondered about.
Work night, Rosenthal. Focus.
I don't know if he would be a better play caller than Kellen Moore, and I think so far it's like, well, there's no.
I felt that was super overblown this summer. We'll like the Texas Coast offense is humming right now, baby.
Big time. If they have a season that goes the way it looks it's going right now, I will really remember how they talked about canceling the joint practices in the training camp, and we were there. We could see it with our own eyes.
Mm-hmm.
We
saw it.
Guys.
Sure.
We're just the guys.
That they're going to be a great team. When they said that, like, we don't want another team to come in here, this defense and this offense, that's the best competition we could possibly face every day.
That's pretty good.
We don't need anything else. I was like, whoa.
That's pretty good.
Oh, my, sir.
I got the vapors.
They're going to go to the Super Bowl.
I'm feeling it. But think about it. I know the Cowboys and a lot of people probably agree with you. It's been almost 30 years, and I'll tell you what. We've been to a bunch of Super Bowls. We're very lucky. The Cowboys would juice that up, and you got the Jera bus rolling all over Las Vegas.
I've wanted it for a long time. I really wanted a Tony Romo Super Bowl back in the day. I loved those Tony Romo teams. But even that rookie Dak year, I thought that would have been fun. Let's do it.
All right.
Fine with this.
Team of ATL.
No,
you cannot do that.
I'm joking. I'm not really rooting for them, but it would be fun.
All right, Greg, you are up.
I see what this little sneaky guy did over here.
By
taking Shook's games. I see that corner in your mouth going up. He took both of Shook's games. So he's not going to get three. The two of us are getting three.
Oh, Mark. That's such a bad luck, dude.
It's funny, though. I respect it. I don't mind.
Wait a minute. We took the beat in week one and two.
Hold on.
You got to take the beat.
Hold on.
We'll talk
number
about
one, there's
after.
Nothing.
This
there's is, nothing. What a disgrace. It is like entirely genuine that I would pick Falcons, Lions. And then I took Tennessee, Cleveland.
He knew I was coming.
Nothing.
If you
to
look
me.
At his, he has a script replying to the criticism. I'm sure with highlighters and everything.
I'm gonna take
it's cunning
just because of I'm strange. I'm gonna go Broncos Dolphins. Actually, that's a fun game. Broncos Dolphins on Sunday as my second early game. I want to see if Jalen Phillips is back in this game. For the Dolphins, Bradley Chubb was great last week. That was against the Patriots offensive line. Van Ginkel, like, they were much better in terms of their pass rush and their defense. Going up against Russ, another, you know, potentially tough matchup where his offensive line doesn't win. I mentioned it Wednesday. Mike McGlinchey's really struggled for them. I don't see it with Russ right now. There's some great throws, but he had those great throws last year in the second half of the season, too. It's not like he was, like, the worst quarterback in the league. But last week, there was a sequence where he threw potential interceptions on two straight plays. He took two big sacks inside the 15-yard line with the game running down. His fumble in the first half turned the game around, and it was one of two plays that stuck out with me where he was trying to get to the sideline, and he couldn't quite get it.
Reach.
We saw the other one late in the game. And so he also missed the slant inside the 10-yard line with about 2.5 minutes to go. That was just wide open. He hurried it because of the pressure. And I don't think things are perfect around him. I think the coaching's good, but the protection and the weapons are iffy. And right now I don't see Russ being able to overcome that. And I think the Dolphins could punish him if they have this pass rush.
You said he seems like more or less the same. I think he's definitely there's a uptick here. Maybe it's just the play calling's
I think
better.
The coaching's a little better.
Yeah,
I mean, like, the whole environment is.
I mean, that's a lot of negative plays last week.
Sure, but he also dropped two beautiful dimes to Marvin Mims.
He can do that.
They, you know, he is, and those are money shots. Those are vintage Russ shots. You can't give a lot of credit for a Hail Mary, but he put that ball up. He's got, as the great TD once said, a sexy deep ball. But yeah, it was notable. You noticed his inability to get to the sideline. I hated the first fumble. He's like calling it that he was down by contact instead of scrambling to recover the damn ball. That kind of stuff is, if you're a Broncos fan, he's driving you crazy. And then one thing, there's a bit of a snowball thing with Russ in this Broncos era of his career, where you saw that game starting to slip away. And instead of him being able to make big plays, you were having those like really ugly three and out drives and danger throws.
That,
and it's just
last
like
drive really bummed me out.
So like, yeah, I think he is maybe just not a difference maker at this point. And that's what they need. And that's why, again, you look at what Sean Payton's decision going to be at. If they're 0-3 after this week and they're 1-6 in a few weeks after this, is Russ long for this offense?
I think that we've talked about this, that it, all along, I think Sean Payton is going to be tempted to make a change. I mean, it just seems like there's a little bit of frustration between them two. There's this whole, like, I want him to wear the play call on his wrist now. Russell Wilson doesn't want to do it. It's like every week Sean Payton is creating a symbol verbally that they're not aligned. And it was like, that was obviously
big
an
underdogs
issue
in this game.
Well, also like
six
this
and
is
a half point underdogs.
Miami's gone 2-0 by being on the road. They're now in steamy, hot Florida, and you're taking a team from a high-altitude Denver. Like, that's a little bit of a rough trip, even just in terms of environment. I would say this, like, Jalen Waddle a little banged up, Tyreek Hill a little banged up.
Yeah, Waddle has been out with a concussion in practice.
That like concerns me because, like, I think when they're there, everyone else obviously is just so much more utilized around them in the correctly slotted. Like, you can't have one of those guys go. The Dolphins have been like unsolvable on offense, and it's kind of like they're a fascinating watch to see what team, which defense can kind of come in and make life very frustrating for Tua. Like a number of games last year, but they got out of the gate quickly. The only little thing, and we noticed this on Sunday night, like Tua, some of the center quarterback snap exchange has been a problem. They fumbled in week one after a nice long drive, and like Connor Williams, because we're talking to MJD in the screening room. And it's like you went from guard to center. And for us, it's just like, cool, that's fine that you're just playing a different position. It's like, it's kind of like asking Dan to come in and not be a podcast host, but like run complex Excel spreadsheets. Like, it's like, it's a new skill. You could probably do it.
I mean,
but
I think
it's not
maybe
your,
just like sitting on this side of the table and someone else hosting.
I'm just saying, like, it's like you're still a part of
we
the company, but we're changing your position entirely. It's not that easy to go play center if you've never done it, and there's been problems.
Let's see. The Dolphins last week against the Patriots, a top-flight defense. Yeah, they still put up almost 400 total yards, and I think this is going to be one of those lookout.
They could have more, too. I feel like the Patriots, it was mostly unforced errors by the Dolphins. Watch out.
6.5 points is the bleeding edge of the lock zone. And yet I have Eric Roberts telling me there's somebody that wants to chime in with something.
Yes, guys. No video submission this week, though. But the Wessling Bros are chiming in from Cincinnati.
Nick's been very quiet.
It was Nick's birthday yesterday.
Oh, happy birthday.
And there has that wasn't quiet, that exchange.
There was a lot. That was a spicy text.
There is talk about, you know, who's actually making these picks. He did say we will be locking up the Dolphins this week.
Okay.
So
maybe there's some peace in the zoo.
I would bet there's not.
They need what it looks like a safe pick on paper, but I would hazard to go back to the archives. I don't necessarily think like 6-point favorites have done that much better than 3-point favorites in this exercise. It's not that big of a
You would think if the brothers, they fight like cats and dogs at the zoo.
Yeah, it's a problem.
However, they do love each other. And I think after the madness of locking up the Jets on the road, maybe there was a come to Jesus brother and brother. Like the way.
It's a cornered animal game. Like, they can't go 0-3. You can't go 0-3.
Sam and Terry Howell. When it's time on Thanksgiving to break bread
and
chop it up, like no matter what they don't see eye to eye on, they at the end of the day, they're blood.
You put the differences behind you.
Sam, Terry, Nick, Phil, I think it's all peas in the pod. Let's take a break, and we'll be right back with the rest of the draft.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by three-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game. King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think he could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think, he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on top of
that. Like that, see that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came to my room crying, tears, crying. I mean, he was in a culture shock. He's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college because it ain't it?
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you tired of your scented cleaning products smelling and cleaning like meh? Then it's time for an upgrade with the power of Clorox Scentiva. With an uplifting scent that smells like coconut, Clorox Scentiva gives you powerful clean like Clorox, but a feeling like being transported to a tropical island retreat. Imagine putting your phone on Do Not Disturb, tuning out all the constant, just the feeling of warm sand in between your toes and a fruity drink in your hand. The ones with the little umbrella. Refresh your home to feel like an all-inclusive vacation by getting Clorox Scentiva. Also available in grapefruit and lavender scents at a nearby retail store.
All right, we're back. Back to Zeuser, you know, Mark. This is a team at the end of the day, and I'm glad Greg called you on that because the public should know. Like, it was one thing to be texting me at the vet when my dog's life was hanging in the balance about football. Like,
I apologize for that.
That I could, and Greg trying to earn a living on live television.
That wasn't so much about what I was doing. It's more of the emotional weight it's adding to wherever I would be.
It's not going to be a repeat.
But here's the thing: we let you off the hook for that and said we understand you're a complex man and you're an emotional man.
Yeah.
But then to turn around 24 hours later and stab us in the back, that was a little bit of a La Rabia
Magnifico.
I don't
think people understand what it is you're accusing me of. I would imagine some
basically,
are confused.
Yeah, you, Greg, help explain it.
That now we're going to have three games while you don't because you took Shook's games. It's complicated.
Don't you think that I'm addressing the previous issue that we had by creating a more calm, streamlined Sunday? You won't.
It is
get,
one of those.
You'll
that,
get
like,
messages
look,
from me.
You're not there in the mornings necessarily. But I'm going to be there, and I do
Greg,
want a calmer Mark.
Did you just hear what the sociopath said? He's now building an entire ecosystem, like building blocks onto. See, aren't you actually happy that you're doing more work so I won't be crazy?
I mean,
from a certain point of view, I think I've made a good point.
Yeah. I think it's been there.
I mean,
think
I'm impressed.
Upon the existing ecosystem.
Like, first of all,
this is like, some like usual suspect stuff going on right now, where like the limp is going away.
I think there's going to be a branch of the audience that realizes I was just cunning. Like, you could have blocked me from doing what I've done, and I'm not going to apologize for it because it was next level.
There's also a branch. It's actually this guy in Chicago, Larry. He's listening for the first time. He has no idea what the hell we're talking about.
Well,
no idea.
Fast forward 15 seconds.
I love it, Mark. I have to say, like, old wacky irreverent Mark. He's doing his own thing,
he took Falcons lights first. I thought, that's interesting. And then the old dirty dog.
Old dirty dog is back.
I did pick games revealed. That I want to watch though. So,
but you're not going to because those are next games. Anyways,
well, we're getting too far in the weeds here.
All right, I am up, and I will go with. I need to grab a late game. Because I have so many games I'm responsible for now, the way this all happened. I'll grab the Bears at the Chiefs.
Don't have any other choice. The other two have been taken.
Yeah, let's talk about the Bears real quick. The Bears, there's some weird stuff going on with the Bears. Of course, we hit on the Wednesday show, Justin Fields coming out and more or less pointing fingers and saying that he's thinking too much in the pocket. He's not being himself. And he then was asked a follow-up question and said, yeah, it's the kind of the coaching might be the culprit. He obviously walks that back once the media blows up, which, by the way, this is a big part of being. Same thing happened, if you remember, with Zach Wilson after a bad game last year. Part of being a young franchise passer is knowing how to handle adversity and saying the right things. It's like an underrated part of the job. And this is a hard lesson Justin Fields is learning in real time. Here's Justin Fields trying to put some of the toothpaste back in the old tube.
I love you guys, but, you know, I get that you guys' jobs are to get clicks, so it's like...
Oh, stop it. Wait, stop it right there. No.
Stop it there, because the rest of it actually added to context where I think...
We're
going to
play it, Greg.
Okay, okay.
But I don't like the setup there, because right there, he's already saying it's the media's fault, and you turn this into something. No, bud. Like, I'm going to listen to it, Greg. But when that's the way you set it up, you're saying... You're the ones that made this a story. I didn't really do anything. Now here I am clarifying the mess that you made.
Yeah, and you
it's an accountability situation.
Yeah, telling them they just want clicks. It's like kind of also saying their entire trade is sort of fugazi.
You said you're not thinking. And then you and a follow-up question said, yeah, the coaching is playing a part. That was out of your mouth.
Yeah.
The media's job is to report upon what you say and then give it context. All right, let's listen again.
I love you guys, but, you know, I get that you guys' jobs are to get clicks. So it's like when you take my quote out of context and when you just say that, if you paint the picture on the inside out, like y'all are trying to split us up as a team. I'm not blaming anything on the coaches. I'm never going to blame anything on the coaches, never going to blame anything on my teammates. I will take whatever happens in the game, I will take all the blame. I don't care if it's a drop pass. It should have been a pass. Put it on me. But never will you hear anything come out of my mouth to where I will blame it on somebody else in this organization, my teammates. Never will you hear that.
But he did.
He did do that.
But it's the media's fault.
I think there's something in between, though, too, because the question literally prompted him with, is it coaching? And he answered it. And he said, I think that's fair to point out. And I did watch that whole press conference. And he goes on about it and he says that, and then he takes accountability afterwards, but saying, I need to do a better job. So I agree. He does need to do a better job answering this question, but it's also, he wasn't just throwing the coaches under the bus. Like, the context was, they phrased it in a way that said, is coaching part of it? And he said, yes. And he said, and I'm also part of it too, which is the truth.
But I think it's also,
so it's like, I think, like, he should try
to. You got
to
take that when you're the quarterback, Greg.
I get it. So I think the franchise in a better way, but I don't think it's like.
You got to take the bullet sometimes, even if you don't always have. You don't share everything because it causes more drama for the team, and I just think it's a bad look in terms of accountability to say what he said on Tuesday and then the next day come out and say it's your fault. The media. Here's the truth. It's like.
Here's the thing. Like, it's like, it is fair, I think, for some of these players that learn this way by stepping in it, that, like, most people aren't going to want to read the full entire passage that you said verbally the day before. They're going to see the headline. They're going to think you're hitting out at your coaching staff. The Bears are a hot mess. But from that angle, I see what he's saying. But
I
he just can't. You just
out.
Go. You just don't do
just
this again.
You're buying his version of the story.
No, I'm not at all.
It's a learning.
Right.
Moment for a 24-year-old who answered.
And that's okay.
Who answered the question honestly, and also in the same press conference was talking very. He's kind of opening his heart of like, I'm being robotic and I'm going through this. Like, he's struggling through it publicly. And you're right. I think you'll learn from it not to answer in that.
There's no like long history of Justin Fields being anything but a good teammate. And like, he said stuff like this before, like, put it on me, blah, blah, blah. You can't do this every week. You can't be the headline every week.
And I think, but when he's even saying I'm being robotic and there's too much going on in my head, that was coded language for the coaching staff is putting too much.
Yeah.
And then he went out of his way to say,
I think it's him being
part of his coaching,
which matters to me. So that part like does matter to me. Sometimes the there's a fake taking blame for everything that is also as, you know, people love it. But when it's fake, it's also not helpful. It's not honest.
I believe it is helpful sometimes. Like if the Bears have a fire.
There's a way to do it. Yeah.
If the Bears have a fire in their locker room, okay, I think part of the quarterback's job is not to put gasoline on that fire and make it more of a public situation. Like he needs to do what he needs to do behind the scenes to get on the same page with the coaching staff, not make it a story, because that is a distraction that causes more drama and that fuels maybe doubt in that locker room when the quarterback's out telling the media how he truly feels. Like
he's not going to do this every week.
Like, no, I'm not killing him because he's a kid and he's learning how to be this way. But the thing, I guess you could say I was triggered by it, but it's just like, when he opens his cleanup by saying, you guys did this, not me. I was like, okay.
Well, anyway, that was a delicious
And that's not even the only thing that's going on with the Bears, because Alan Williams, after some mystery, he wasn't on the sideline for the Bears, the defensive coordinator, last week. He suddenly resigned as their DC, the team announced on Wednesday. And Greg, and speaking of media and how the sport's covered, there's some potentially ugly business about like how people throw things out there without any true sources. And there was some things going on about the law enforcement raiding the Bears complex.
Which they had to officially deny.
And maybe there's more that will come out of the story, but from where we are right now, that was all bogus. There was some like Dov Kleinman types out there throwing a bunch of junk out there. And then it caught viral. And that was just like an ugly learning lesson, I think, for everyone, that just like you got to trust the insiders on stuff like this and not necessarily just what's floating around the internet. All we know right now is it was explained to be a family health issue and he's leaving the team. Nothing more than that.
Big media lesson day for everyone yesterday. A lot happening.
Right. And there might be
class of 02, Northeastern U.
There might be more to this story that is a completely different story than the bogus rumors that were out there. That wouldn't surprise me. It has been a strange situation where the Bears reporters, the ones you can trust, were given the clear impression it was not a health issue when he disappeared last week. And right. We don't know what happened here, but he's gone from the team, and it just is another indication that this organization is spinning its wheels, and it's been one of the worst organizations in the NFL for a minute. And oh, by the way, their left tackle, their really nice surprise rookie fifth round pick last year is on injured reserve now, like their left guard. So that to me, just from a football vantage point, was a pretty massive deal for them.
It's the Chicago Zoo, or you could call it the Chicago Fire right now. Weird that they named like an MLS team Chicago Fire, because that was a horrific tragedy in the history of that city. That's an aside.
I don't think they're pointing to that necessarily. But you're right. It's hard not to make the parallel.
Maybe they got to be pointing to it. They can't be. It's not like they hadn't heard of it.
But bad job by you,
like,
MLS.
It's almost like they're taking ownership, reclaiming the the fire.
Anyway,
the Chiefs are in this game.
Yeah, the Chiefs are in the game too. And by the way, football Twitter or football X does have a lot of videos out there of Justin Fields with like open receivers just sitting there. And we're talking about that. He's not making the reads, and he said he's going to open it up. That's an interesting reason to watch this game. Do we see I think we're going to see him running the football a lot.
4 yards last week.
A lot. And hopefully he can stay healthy. And the Chiefs, I think there's something here, Greggy, like the offense week one is always a little funky in the Detroit and the drops and missing Kelsey. But week two, they could not get it going in week two either on offense. So they can have a breakout. This seems like a great setup for it.
If they don't put up 30 plus in this game, something's seriously wrong.
Yes.
It's one of the reasons I love this job. Like the Chiefs coming back this year, like you would think there's a lot of carryover, but these teams really do change. The defense is different. They've given up 23 points combined in 2 weeks against the Jaguars and the Lions, 14 against the Lions offense, 9 against the Jaguars. Chris Jones looked amazing. Their linebackers are great. Legarius Sneed, weirdly, is the one guy struggling. He doesn't look right. So their defense, this I think is going to be the best defense of the Patrick Mahomes era. And yet, through 2 weeks, it's clearly the worst offense. He started 96 games. Sheil Kapadia of The Ringer pointed this out. Last week's start was 96th out of 96 in success rate of any start he had. And the first game, week one, was 92nd out of 96. So two of the worst offensive games of the Mahomes era.
What's worse about the offense from last year?
I think, first of all, like,
the enemy's gone, but he didn't call the plays.
I don't think it's a Bieniemy thing. I mean, I think that it's going to take time, but
the tackles.
You were hoping Kadarius Toney was going to be a so-called number one wideout. They don't have that guy.
But they didn't have that last year either.
Right. Juju was valuable for them, but it's a little much to put this on Juju.
It's not so much like the parts they had last year versus this year, but like he spread it to 11 different people last week.
I think we got maybe a 50 burger this week.
And I think they'll be okay, I think it's okay to at least believe that by the end of the season, maybe they're not the Chiefs of old and that they're trying to win in slightly different ways where they're like the sixth best offense, but the ninth best defense. You know what I mean? Like that they're not this unbelievably otherworldly offense. I don't know.
See, that's kind of what I thought last year was going to be. And then Mahomes put up some of his greatest numbers ever with an otherwise pedestrian offense. So that's what I mean. Like what has changed? You still have Andy Reid, still have Pat Mahomes, you know, the tackles need to be better. You know what?
It's 50 burger. It's September 21st. I'm not going to get too concerned about
these Chicago Bears going to Arrowhead to try to fit. And the Chiefs are like trying to figure themselves out. What a get right spot for that offense. All right. That leads back to me again, doesn't it?
It is.
Okay. I'm and by the way, credit to WGN TV on that Fields video.
Did we mention the Chiefs are 12.5-point favorites?
That is a lot of wood to lay. The other game, I got to grab another one. Thanks, Mark. The Saints at Packers.
Yeah.
Saints at Packers. Kind of like it.
Yeah, that's a fun one.
Saints getting 2 in this one. I like the Saints more. I like Derek Carr more. I think they're interesting. They're running now. Their depth chart is getting tested more because Alvin Kamara has 1 game left on a suspension. And now Jamal Williams, I think he's got a hammy that it doesn't maybe look so hot.
Sounds like it might be a multiple weeks for him.
Woofa. So you're going to not have much of a running game here. Now, the Packers famously struggled mightily stopping the run against the Falcons in week 2. But I don't think that's going to be as big of an issue. I do want to see the Packers. Are we going to get healthy? Are we having our guys back yet? Christian Watson, Aaron Jones, because I think that's going to make a hell of a difference. And I've been very interested in the quarterback, Jordan Love, so far. What would he look like with a full complement against a good Saints defense?
I guess you could say is sort of a quiet positive about not having like Watson in there early on is that Jaden Reed, I thought, has looked really good. Dontavian Wicks is making plays for them. Like, there's such a young offense. We've talked about that a lot on NFL Plus on Monday when we looked at that Falcons game. You're not going to have to deal with Bijan Robinson in this situation. I think Green Bay's defense got worked over last week by that ground game, but I see things to like, and it's like we're in another universe. Quay Walker has, like, multiple scores this season versus having dropped that. Their little mistakes last week. Ritter's, you know, two balls that absolutely should have been picked off. One of them should have been a pick six, if not both. Like, that game is entirely different.
Despite missing their 4 of their best players on offense. I think that it's almost been undersold how efficient they've been without those players. But I think Christian Watson especially.
There was a terrible sack on Jordan Love that you can track right back to the absence of David Bakhtiari. The ground game with Dylan was a mess, and that goes right back to the absence of Jones. So if you get these guys back, and if you get Watson back at wide receiver, it's like, I think we barely even started to see what Green Bay can do. And like, I'm on board with Jordan Love. Like, it's not perfect, but like, this is of all the scenarios we could have gotten with him 6 months ago, it's like, you'd have to say this is a positive start for him.
No doubt. And this is actually his first Lambeau start, which surprised me, but all the starts have been on the road. I think this is his 4th NFL start. I am intrigued watching him because just physically, he's in the Josh Allen type, and he's not that kind of runner, but just the arm strength and the physicality. I love the way he runs. He kind of looks like Aaron Rodgers on some of the, it's like he's been watching him when he's running to the right and everything. I just mean, you can see why he went in the first round, despite not being the most accurate quarterback. So he's a fun watch, and he's been getting protected quite well. We'll see if that happens this week. In terms of, you know, things change. I mentioned it with the Chiefs. Like, this Lion or the Saints defensive line to me is much better this year than they were a year ago. You still got Cam Jordan, who just refuses to age. He's got a podcast, by the way, on NFL media now.
Always loved him.
And he's still like, he refuses to age. But the two guys that have been added to the mix in terms of their impact, Brian Brisee, a somewhat surprising first round pick to me, is really playing well at defensive tackle for them. Looks like a nice find.
Anything else?
I think both these fan bases are really optimistic and like think their team is much better than the national consensus, and they both might be right. And so I think it's an interesting matchup for that. That if you're looking for a surprise team in the NFC to be like, what, they're in the divisional round or what, they're in the conference championship. I think these are two pretty nice candidates. Packers Saints.
Very nice. Okay. Mark, do you want to, yeah, maybe we should talk. Maybe you could take one of these early games off my hands. so we have the top coverage possible. Audience.
We'll discuss at a later time.
Because it's about the audience in the end, you know, and the product that we can give them.
We'll talk later.
We can discuss that. I'm not sure I fully buy into that concept at all.
Well, don't know. This is the best part of the show, Greg. Greg, you're up.
All right. I'm going to take Texans.
I'm going to do a whole pod on this.
Texans, Jags. You know, I think that's 3 out of 3 weeks that Chris Myers and Robert Smith is calling the third game.
Not for me, Rob slot. Smith.
It's the third game slot. If you have three games, that's the third one. Texans, Jags would be better if the Texans were healthier, but they lost Derek Stingley to a hamstring injury in practice. In practice. Like, these injuries happen in practice, too. And it sounds like he might be out multiple weeks. Jalen Petrie still has that chest injury. They might get Justin Reed back, but that secondary I was so excited about, they gone. Their offensive line, Mark's talked about plenty. They gone. Like, they've just had... They've been hurt by injuries as much as any team in the league, and they're not a team that can afford that. But I'm still excited to watch the two quarterbacks in this game. I want to see Trevor Lawrence bounce back from a down week from him and really that whole offense. And I want to see if Stroud can keep it going, because you talked about lipstick on a pig earlier, Dan.
Mm-hmm.
If you've got a rookie quarterback that's showing some promise, mm-hmm. it's like, oh, it's fine if you're one of the three worst teams in the league again for the third straight year under Nick Casera. Like, it almost all doesn't matter if CJ Stroud's looking good.
Exactly. And he does. I mean, if anything, he's just producing. Like, I'm not in love with, like, I was so high on Damian Pierce coming into the year, and like, their ground game has been a mess. Laremy Tunsil practiced Thursday. Has that knee situation that's needed. I mean, their offensive line, which looked like strength, has been hit by that injury bug in a huge way. Jacksonville, man, they should have beaten the Chiefs a week ago. Like, it's that those.
A lot of people said that the last 5 or 6 years.
Yeah, but those two like end zone passes where it's like an inch difference and you've beaten the Chiefs, and it would have been a massive victory for the franchise. I still think they're one of the AFC's better teams. Like, it was a bit of a down performance for Trevor Lawrence, but like, their defense, which I thought was a massive weak spot, did pretty well against the Chiefs.
Great.
They did great.
They should have won that game.
They got to take care of business here. It's like a division matchup. Is this the one where the Texans would always beat the Jaguars again and again? And they finally ended that, I believe, late last year. Because it doesn't really make any sense here.
Right. What do we got for the spread on this one?
9 points for the Texans. Nine. No one's buying into that concept. Fun or not.
It's disappointing because you wanted to see what D'Amico Ryans' impact could be. And I think it's a little hard to evaluate based on the injuries that they've had. That for him to be asked to do it with all these backups. Offensively, though, I think I like their coordinator so far. Bobby Sloak, like, it looks like an offense that makes some sense.
Okay. By the way, that's your game, Greg, count how many times when Fox goes to commercial break, if they play a classic rock song.
Okay.
Clock how many times Robert Smith goes, oh, yeah, a little Led Zepp, or, ooh, a little ZZ Top on a Sunday.
Like, you are
before
not,
they go to break.
You are not into his performance on the
night. I mean, it's I'm going to be listening to it on my third earbud. I don't know where I'm putting
it. I'll tell you where to put it.
So we'll see if I hear that or not, or if that one's on mute.
Tough sitch.
Ooh, little Steven Tyler, Boston's own. It's like, all right, Rob, we get it. You listen to Q104.
Oh, boy.
All right, one more game.
It's really funny.
Colts or Ravens?
Let's go.
See what we got here. Ravens, Colts getting 8 points.
You going to watch this game?
Absolutely. Okay. I'm going to be zoned
in. Not farming this one out.
I'm going to be the only game he drafted he watches. Somehow Marcus actually only has one game on Sunday.
I mean, you have to say that if I knew this morning that I could do literally anything that would get under your guys' skin to this degree, it's been an absolute win. Huge victory. Great
Purdue
draft.
Purdue Chicken Farms just farming things out. Arthur Purdue over here.
We're feeling good about our draft. The organization is feeling good.
Kaiser Soze, I think, was the better analogy, because it's like I suddenly looked back at Nick's games and I was like, I'm matching it up to Mark's. It's like, oh. And then I look at him and he's just got this.
Chaz Palminteri dropping the coffee cup, shattering on the ground. David Ealy dropping the coffee cup.
I think you need to, take a look in the mirror on how you strategize these drafts.
We needed to block you on that?
Yeah.
Okay, let's go.
Colts, now we Ravens. Know.
All right.
There we go.
Greg, now we know. We know there's treachery afoot every Thursday afternoon.
You can do the same to me next week. You do know.
Now I know. For so long, it was wool pulled over my eyes. But now I understand.
No Anthony Richardson in this, potentially.
No practice.
That's such a bummer. I'm so bummed out about that because, you watch those first two quarters, and it's like, this is happening. This guy is going to be the rookie of the year, and the Colts are going to hang around and be a fun watch. And Gardner Minshew is one of the very best backups in the league, so I think the Colts can still hang around. But Richardson adds that element of, there's a certain je ne sais quoi.
Sure.
On the field.
No doubt.
That you're just not going to get from Minshew.
You just can't have two games in a row to start his career where you're exiting with potentially disturbing injury situations. And it's like, it's a product of.
Don't want it, can't have
it. Their offensive line's been better. I would say, like, that was sort of an X factor coming into the year because they completely melted down. Like, good players along the offensive line played completely not up to their ability a year ago. And it's like, they look better coached. I think they're pretty well coached in general. Like, I think the Steichen thing is working. But this game, I'm kind of surprised, is still here at the end because I think the Ravens are one of the more intriguing on offense, one of the more intriguing kind of week-to-week viewings and propositions. And, like, Lamar Jackson looked good to me. He's looked really good. And, like, Zay Flowers is an absolute difference maker. Odell is not practicing this week. We'll see what happens with that. But Zay Flowers makes all the difference.
That was a great catch, the deep ball.
I mean, that was an unreal throw by Lamar to just put that 55 yards on a dime, like, without much elevation. He looks so good. This right now
that
is
too.
What every Lamar fan has been asking for.
And so far.
I don't know if it's going to last, but what I mean by that is, like, this is more of a normal NFL offense, for lack of a better word. It's like, it's not the Greg Roman offense, which worked well and got Lamar an MVP. I'm not saying that was like a bag of trash or anything, but he's getting rid of the ball quickly. He's being patient in the pocket when he needs to. He's mostly playing from the pocket and making good decisions, but then he scrambles when he needs to. He's scrambling plenty, but there's not a ton of design runs. And if that's just a nice balance, and you can kind of see how he's more mature than he was, and he has weapons around him. So it's what we've been asking for. And so far,
week one wasn't, though.
Week two was. It was just the Bengals, and you were like, wow, this is a nice game.
What you want now, because Lamar was awesome in week two, and he was shifty, and he kind of tied up the defense in knots and picked up big plays, and the touch on his ball was great. You just want to see it week after week.
I do think so, because it's like this thing, it's post-Greg Roman, that, like, oh, they weren't going to run the ball. There was this, concept that he's talking about throwing for 6,000 yards. They ran the ball for 178 yards on Cincinnati last week.
And they did it when they had
to
at the end of the game, which was impressive.
With 37 carries, and he still had 12 touches on the ground.
And Mark Andrews is a huge difference. They weren't even on the same page a lot last week, but he had the big red zone touchdown. Nelson Aguilar is a player on that offense. Nelson Aguilar is going to end up with better numbers than Odell.
That's fine.
And it shows you what a good...
Not according to the pay grades, but... Yeah.
No, but I thought Odell was a bit of a stretch, but...
Yeah, this might be a good Nelson Aguilar season. He pops up every now and then. They were missing their left tackle, Ronnie Stanley, and their center, Tyler Linderbaum, which was such a huge concern going into that game. And then he faced the lowest pressure rate of his entire career. So that's some good coaching. That's some good backups at left tackle with Patrick McCarty. Here's a hot take. Maybe Gardner Minshew gives the Colts just as much of a chance to win or better, just because the Ravens are so thin at cornerback. They lost another one last week. Their starting slot. Their cornerbacks on paper should be really poor, and so could Gardner Minshew take advantage? I don't know. Joe Burrow didn't really, so I guess probably not.
You also don't have Marcus Williams.
I'm just saying that's their weakness right now, is that cornerback. Can a more accurate quarterback take advantage? We'll see.
I don't think Minshew is a big step down from a rookie quarterback, outside of what Richardson's
totally
doing on
different,
the ground.
But he's played well lately.
Do you think the Colts would give up a conditional third for Gardner Minshew?
would they give the Jets?
Conditional third.
Oh, well, yeah, because
it becomes a second rounder if the Jets reach the AFC title game.
You've gone and gotten the future at the position, so I think he'd be more sellable than in other situations.
Come back,
if you had no
come
one.
Back to us, and well, give us a second now. Flat up, we'll do it.
What about
come
Jameis
back to
Winston,
us in week
though?
Six or seven? Let's just see what's shaking out there.
What about Jameis Winston?
You know, maybe we'll stick a pin in this for you're the GM coming up down the line.
Sure. But I think if you get a Jets meltdown this week.
What about Kirk Cousins? I feel like we're the only show on earth that hasn't brought that one up. They're 0-3.
You had dreams about Cousins being on the Jets way back when.
I did. Maybe. All right. That's it. All right. Do we get the spread in there? Got to get the spread in there.
We mentioned that it was the Ravens are giving up 8 points.
I love to know every game. I need that spread. Give me that spread every game. All the spreads. We are going to be back tonight with the Giants 49ers recap Thursday night football. Also it's Thursday, which means NFL Plus with special guest Colleen Wolf.
Oh yeah, that's a fun one.
So make sure.
Thanks for covering. Big 12th birthday to Ellis Rosenthal.
Hey, happy birthday, Ellis. 12.
I know.
You old.
She old.
Be the call.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day. And smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.